It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-7... I love this. This music is fantastic. Yes, it is. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like it. Rick@RickEmerson.com. Rick@RickEmerson.com. Rick, there are turtles in Japan, and some of them must be snapping turtles. In one scene in the Japanese movie Tampopo, they are visiting a rich patron who is treating them to a custom catered lunch of fresh live river turtles. At one point, Tampopo reaches to touch the turtle, and her host freaks out, grabs her hand, and yells about how it could take her fingers off. Then the chef kills the turtle, and they have a great lunch. By the way, about hair lips, he says, with no segue, hair lips are an outward sign of a cleft palate, but may not have the incredible internal deformations through the roof of the mouth and sinuses. This is really disgusting.
Incredible deformations?
He says that's why Geraldo Rivera has a mustache. See, also Cheech Marin. Okay. I think Joaquin Phoenix had a... wait, hold on. We've got this. This is subject line, hair lip, hair lip, hair lip, hair lip. Rick, a hair lip is when the upper lip does not completely form. That's what Joaquin Phoenix has. It's like where your the upper lip is sort of like in two. It's not one solid piece. Yeah, I know. It's kind of a shut up. But he had it fixed. To his credit, though, he left the scar there. You know, because he's all like, I don't want to be perfect. I just, it's part of who I am, and I'm just going to leave it there. Because, you know, and because he, the thing about River,
he is kind of
about Joaquin Phoenix, yeah, and he totally knows that he's, like, good-looking enough that he can have, like, the one flaw. Like, if he was just some hideous baboon of a guy, like, he would totally have it removed. Seriously. You know what I mean? It's like when you meet a beautiful woman who has a birthmark. She's like, well, I just figured, but if you're just some hideous whale, like, you're going to get that taken off the first time you got $50 to scrape together.
So gross.
It's true. You know it's true. A cleft palate is let's see. A cleft palate is when the roof of your mouth doesn't completely form. All right. Let's all think about that. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Where would the food go? Does the food just go into your brain? I don't know the answer to these things. I need a doctor on this radio program. All right. We'll talk. Scotty, now look, here's the thing, Scotty. I see these call screenings. See, I can see when the phone is picked up, and I can see how long the phone is picked up before it's put back and hold and screened. You're picking fights with the callers about the Dixie Chicks, aren't you? People are calling in because they want to talk about hair lips or gum or something, and you're just, what do you think about the Dixie Chicks? I just know you are. I know what lurks in the evil hearts of thee, Scotty J. All right. Speaking of evil hearts, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent and golden god, Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
Hello, hello, hello.
What's up? What is that? What is that voice?
That's a man.
Hey, you know who Barney Frank is, don't you?
Yes.
Do you find his speaking style to be so bizarre?
I try to stay away from him.
Do you find his speaking style to be really off-putting because it's the way he talks and he can't fully form his words? And do you find Rudy Giuliani to have kind of the same speech?
It's distracting.
Speak style. He had the good speak style. Yeah, I got nothing. Hey, so you were at the Grammys last night. Hey, yeah. What did Smokey Robinson do?
I thought it was a robot. I didn't think it was really Smokey Robinson.
It's the Smoke-O-Bot.
I thought it was one of those things that Walt Disney put together.
He's a what are those things?
It was smooth. It was like wax. It's really weird, man.
What are those things? God, what are those things that Walt Disney created? They're not robots.
Like
they're
automatons or something. Whatever.
Like
they're
the animatronics.
Animatronics.
Yeah,
guys, yeah. That's what it looked like because he didn't move much. He's kind of. Yeah, it's very weird.
Well, there's no skin left.
Weird look on his face. It was interesting.
Somebody said that if he has one more facelift, he's not going to have any feet left because there's no more skin. I will tell you this. I did not watch the Grammys last night. Sarah and I were talking about this today. That I don't know when it happened. It's so cliche to blame it on the fact that music is bad now. And maybe it's that. Maybe it's I'm just old enough. Maybe it's just that there's so many award shows and there's so many channels of TV on all the time. But I realized I just don't care anymore, and I didn't even after mentioning it to you on Friday, this morning, I forgot that the Grammys had happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Scotty says it's the best Grammys he's ever seen.
Performance-wise, it was the best Grammys I've covered in a while.
Who were the standout performances?
Well, it's not that there were any standout performances, but they were just good. You know, I mean, it wasn't, you didn't, after a performance, go, what the hell was that? You know, like you normally do.
Such a ringing endorsement. The bar is set so low for all of us.
because you have to want to understand it.
Yeah.
You know, they got there's all these pyrotechnics and weird dancing going on, and every now and again a word would be heard. You know, it's not really singing.
Yeah.
But last night it was pretty good, and they had so much of it. There was, except for when you watch Lionel Richie or Smokey Robinson, you think you're sitting in you're watching a flashback of, you know, some 80s TV show or something.
Totally, totally.
But it, you know, other than that, you know, and that John Legend, John Mayer, and Corinne Bailey Ray, while that was real good, I mean, unless you wanted to listen to it, you would fall asleep.
Totally.
You know?
What about Shakira?
Well, she's got some belly, man. She can move that thing, that's for sure.
See, I don't really care.
She sort of saved the day for me.
I don't really care for her music, but...
I like watching her dance.
I was going to say, and, you know, it's not like there's a shortage of hot chicks in the showbiz world, but I will say she does have a certain something. There is a certain... she does have a certain live sexuality, as
yes.
they used to say.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not much of a dancer. Like, dancing doesn't really impress me. I recognize that it's an ability, but it's just nothing that I'm interested in. Like, here's a fun story, and... Long-time listeners have heard this story before, but Sarah Dillon and I at one point had to judge a breakdancing contest, which just sounds like the most retarded thing.
That.
Like, how would you ever arrive at Sarah and I, who are the whitest two people you will ever meet in your entire life? And I mean both figuratively and literally. I mean, we're white, man. We're milk white. And we ended up judging a breakdancing contest at one point. And these people who did, and they were just, even in Portland, which you don't think of as being like an urban mecca, they were insanely good. I mean, they were really, really good. And that's the thing that, I mean, I recognize takes a lot of skill, and Shakira certainly got that. I mean, you know, she's hot and she's whatever, but I mean, she's... But she has a certain something. There's a kind of charisma in her, no doubt about that.
You're going to get sick of that one move of hers after a while.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right now it's novel and it looks really cool when she does it, but after a while you're going to go, okay, there goes that booty again.
Well, so. She's going to... She's gonna age pretty badly too. She's gonna be all leathery. By like within 10 years, she'll just be all tough and beaten up. And I don't mean tough like a street girl. I mean
because
tough.
Of all the tanning and all that.
Yeah, I mean tough like a set of a boot. That's what I mean. Seriously,
She have a boot booty.
Face you could make a moccasin out of.
There you go.
Anywho,
it's always usage for ad. It's for recycling.
What was the general consensus in the crowd? For the Dixie Chicks taking home everything and its cousin.
I don't know. The debate went on last night about is it a political statement or is, you know, taking the long way and not ready to make nice that good a record, you know. I think it's a pretty good record. I hate that whole political undertone of everything. You know, it's either a good piece of music or it's not. And,
right.
And don't use your ability to vote for what's best, you know,
yeah.
to give me your political stance. But... I really thought, it made a story, because, I mean, it was Glenn Campbell, 1968 was the last time a country star got Album of the Year,
you know,
so that, you know, it became a story, it made it worth being there, but I was not that impressed by it.
I have to say, the song itself, the lead, and I have the whole album, but that's clearly the standout track from the album, is that Not Ready to Make Nice,
yes.
And musically speaking, regardless of this fiction being peddled by country radio, the song, musically speaking, is really strong. To me, and what that means is, you take that single, Not Ready to Make Nice, which won Record of the
Record
Year and Song of the Year. If you took
a couple of others, they were 5 for 5 last night.
Sure, and then country and record and whatever.
Right.
That single, which didn't get airplay hardly anywhere, I mean, the weird thing is, it got airplay on, like, alternative stations, but not on country stations. If you were to take that melody and the chord progression and the production, whatever, and just put totally different lyrics to it, it still stands up, because it's a catchy, melodic, real punchy song.
And they performed it very well last night.
They're great players. That's
yeah.
the other thing about those girls. They can... Here's a couple things that are, you know, in country music, it's so rare to write your own material, because everybody in country music, they just get they just go to these song mills, just the song farms, and that's where they get all their crap from. They write their own material, and those girls can play. They are from the old school where they can just play anything with strings, which is the way that country music really kind of used to be back in sort of its classic era. So,
yeah.
And boy, Natalie Maines, boy, they just look, they don't look. You see a picture of them from about 15 years ago.
They look like siblings now.
It was like a bunch of, and it was like they were wearing like a bunch of like gingham and like bad denim dresses. It was all bad. But they've clearly been given a good glossing over by somebody, because I think they figured out by now that. There is no going back. Like they can't go back to the country world, and so they got to just embrace the pop and the rock world as much as they can.
Well, yeah, because it's so fractionalized now that country music is has such a small universe now that they can't make a whole lot of money unless they can cross over.
Right.
Unless they can appeal to the masses.
Well, they have to because, again, they burned their bridge back for good or bad. So, all right.
Well, I mean, you know, country music took the top four categories. It was like the Country Music Awards without the big hats.
That's right. Oh, and because Carrie Underwood won Best New Artist, right?
Yeah, those are multi-genre categories. So, you know, it gave a little legitimacy to the Dixie Chicks winning those categories, which could give you an argument that it's not political. It was just good music.
Hey, was Carrie Underwood, did you get to see her up close?
She got great legs, man.
There we go with the leg comment.
I'm telling you, I was sat directly in front of her when she was talking on stage. I'm going, man, those are nice.
Was she the rest of her? But let's see how much more I can sound like a pig. How much more like a pig dog American male chauvinist can I sound like? She was pretty in person because sometimes, like,
yes.
Here's the thing about Carrie Underwood. She has recorded probably the worst song that's ever existed, which is that Jesus Take the Wheel song. And I would rather have my genitals set on fire than listen to that song. But I got to tell you, she is really, all the marketing materials I've seen of her anyway, which can be deceptive, she's really, really pretty looking. And is she hot in person?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Without a doubt. I mean, she's very nice looking.
Where would you put her legs on a classic? Well, this is going to be a new feature. Where would you put Carrie Underwood's legs on a classic 1 to 10 scale?
Oh, I put her on a 10. They're a 10.
Really?
Yeah, you can tell she works out. She's either a runner or a walker. And you know, whatever she works out, but she definitely uses those things for more than just standing on them. That's for sure.
That's the quote of the day right there. Fantastic. Excellent. God bless you, Jim Roop. hey, let me ask you this. I don't know if we mentioned this. Did we talk to you about Rachel McGrath?
No, you haven't talked to me about her, but I know who she is.
All right. So here's the thing. So we came in the other day, and the first issue, and your name was just gone one day, and it was like Rachel McGrath. And we were like, oh, God, I hope Jim hasn't been hit and killed by a meteorite or whatever. And so and then we got her on, and you'll appreciate this, by the way, how Rick Emerson once again just snatches defeat from the jaws of victory. So we figured, well, you know, whatever, you know, Roop's, you know, overworked, or he's on vacation, you know, whatever. So we did have her on, and I didn't know anything about her. And she comes on, and she's, you know, got the great British accent and everything. So I'm using all my A material, just trying to put on a, you know, like, hey, aren't I charming and witty? Look at me, Rick Emerson. Watch me tap dance, you know, just doing the thing that I do. And then I get all, and she's laughing at my jokes, and, you know, I feel like I'm winning her over. We get all the way to the end, and then as I'm getting ready to finish up her shot with us, I say, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, Rebecca McGrath from CNN. And then I realize it, and it's too late because she's already gone. I try to pick up the phone. She's already vanished. So there you go. So I blew it with her the very first day she was on.
Now, she seems very nice. I met her the other day.
So
she seems very nice. So, I think she's very forgiving.
Now,
I bet she didn't even hear it.
She has that accent, though, that immediately makes me feel stupid. You know, it immediately makes me feel uneducated.
Yeah.
So I'm like a commoner.
So I don't hang out with British people.
Yeah, good for you, sir.
Thank you.
Stick to your own kind. All right, Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent to the stars. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon. There you go, Jim Roop in Los Angeles. I love that guy. I really do. He's fantastic.
So are you going to go visit him when you go to L.A.?
Absolutely. Oh, man, I got to...
You've got to take lots of pictures.
Oh, I got to get ready for that. Oh, it's next month. Yeah, I'm going to be gone next Monday and Tuesday.
What happens to us?
Do we get the weekend off? Or the first 2 days off? No.
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 I figure we'll just put together some best ofs and, you know, and just...
We can narrate.
Yeah, and then just, you know,
news. Chuckle and
news with
him. You should be taking a lot of time off for Cameron.
Zany banter. I know. I feel bad. I really do. I feel guilty. I feel really bad. But
we did have
Kim and I are here working hard.
I know, but it's this Aaron Sorkin thing, and there's just no way to get out of it. It's not that I want to get out of it, but I'm saying there's no other way to do it. Because it's all weekdays. The premiere of this new Aaron Sorkin play, which I'm such a freak for Aaron Sorkin. I really honestly never thought I'd be taking time off of the show to see a play. But the new Aaron Sorkin play, which debuts in La Jolla, which is right outside of San Diego, which is one of my favorite places anyway. So, it's just, and my wife's gonna shoot me in the head if I don't take some time off. I think it's reached the point where she's just going to cut off my legs to keep me home. If I don't take a couple days off from work.
Next, host of the suburbs.
Dude.
Don't. Well, I'm just trying to hasten the inevitable.
Don't even say it. Don't say it.
It's inevitable.
You say it three times, you'll make it happen. So just stop that.
You already know that's what's happening.
Yeah.
This neighborhood is just too dangerous for our future.
Yes.
Every time your car gets stolen, it's one step closer to the burn.
I know.
Do you realize how much money we wasted on toilet paper we didn't even use?
Megan? All right. It's 503-733-2970. It's 1:23, Sarah. So should we break, have Tim, and then the next half of the Suburban Perspective?
Yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back after this with what?
Are you going to play the song?
Should I play it here?
I thought you were going to play it here.
Okay. We'll do the song here. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, then Scotty J with the Suburban Perspective. I'll try to get to the top five and more, plus Rachel McGrath at 2 o'clock. God damn it, I hate my life. Back after this, you say there's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's the Dixie Chicks. Don't go anywhere. That's 503-733-2970. Just a few minutes, we'll have Scotty J return to the studio for the Suburban Perspective Part 2.
And there's free gum in the kitchen.
Really?
It's kind of hard, but it's free.
Later on, top five, we'll talk about this Red Hot Pistol song and Rachel McGrath from CNN Radio Los Angeles. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, make way for Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, Kevin Maddox lost when he ran for governor, but he's back this time trying to amend the Oregon Constitution to limit strip clubs around the state.
Who is this?
Kevin Maddox. He was a Republican.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes.
Everyone always loses every election.
Yeah, he was the one, like one of those
the last couple
professional losers.
Like that Bill Sizemore.
Yeah.
He kind of appears and disappears every so often.
Who is What's His Guts that I'm thinking of from the Oregon Family Values thing or the Oregon...
Oh, Lon Mabon?
Lon Mabon. Whatever happened to that nutcase?
Well, he's back, and they're they're trying to put these groups of Russian and Latvian immigrants together to oppose gays.
Of course. Welcome to America.
So the talking point for their newest campaign is, you defeated communism, now let's defeat the gays.
Well done. Welcome to America. Here is a cloak and a hood.
Exactly.
And a pit bull.
So all that's right. What they're up to. Okay. You'll be hearing more from them. So anyway, this Medix fellow says, in getting rid of these strippers, the less salacious the performance, the less attractive it will be to unsavory characters. Well, who else is going to go to a strip club? I mean, seriously. There's a mysterious illness devastating the honeybee industry. It's killing tens of thousands of honeybee colonies across the country, threatening honey production. Look for the honey to go up in the store. Meanwhile, the...
Honeybee going up in price.
Yep. Just in time for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
The president is celebrating African American History Month. He recalls the shame of slavery.
For hundreds of years, the people of Africa were bought and sold by colonial merchants and transported as cargo to this hemisphere.
He doesn't know what any of this
the
means.
The journey endured by millions of Africans is one of the largest migrations of history and one of the great crimes of history.
He says African Americans are doing much better today, though.
Today, African Americans are seizing opportunities gained at great price. And they're making their mark in this wonderful country in countless ways.
Why does this horrify me so much? I don't know why it is. It shouldn't.
There's no applause being given to
this. Can you play that first cut again of him talking
about... For hundreds of years, the people of Africa were bought and sold by colonial merchants and transported as cargo to this hemisphere. The journey endured by millions of Africans is one of the largest migrations of history and one of the great crimes of history.
Okay, first of all, the largest migrations of history is wrong. It doesn't make any... Even when he's working off prepared text, he clearly can't handle words, two letters in length. Secondly, I don't even know where to begin. I don't know why that makes me cringe so badly. It just does. I think also it's the way that he says the word merchants, because he's doing it with that tone of voice, and what that tone of voice says is, it's sort of like, in your face, I pronounced it correctly, naysayers. It's sort of like taunting us for thinking that it's showing off that he pronounced the word right. Dude, play that one more time, the first one. Listen to how he says merchants.
For hundreds of years, the people of Africa were bought and sold by colonial merchants.
There you go. That's
and
what it
transported
is.
As cargo yeah. to this hemisphere.
It's totally. See,
the journey endured by millions of Africans is one of the largest migrations of history and one of the great crimes of history.
All right. Oh, by the way, speaking of Black History Month, I have here. I gotta find something to do with this. I have from our good friend The Low. I have the Urban Perspective music for Scotty J. Oh, let's see if I can get it to. See if I can. What does it save? Yeah, I'll save it here and I'll see if I can play. It is music for the Urban Perspective segment that somebody. Suggested. Was that me or was it a listener?
I like the current one we have.
Well, the urban perspective?
Well, no,
that
this
was me.
As opposed to the suburban perspective, which is the white man's view of things. Mm-hmm. Let's just call it what it is. This, the urban perspective would be for the non-white man, the urban man's, the strong, proud Nubian man's view of things. And the Low created some music here. The Urban Perspective featuring, and then we had a listener who suggested, I guess it was the bourbon perspective. Let's see if I have, who wants to hear the Urban Perspective theme?
Oh, I do.
Let's see. Here we go. This is... Oh, come on! And of course it doesn't want to play. See, now that I've teased it, it doesn't want to function. Let's see if I can play with Winamp. Hold on. This is...
Oh, wait.
Well, really, what else is anybody doing? I mean, come on. If it wasn't this, it would just be calls about, like, cadavers packed with ground-up bone or something, or whatever those hideous... let's see if we've got...
No, that doesn't work.
Come on!
Let's try something else. Make sure it works before you teach.
I listened to it at home. It was working fine.
Mm-hmm.
That happens to me all the time. I bring things in here.
Instead, you bring them in here and they just don't work. It just makes... Oh, it's because it's...
No.
I understand what's happening now. Okay, never mind. I'll revisit this later. Here's Tim Riley.
But I know this stuff works. Say, are you looking for a way to spice up your Valentine's Day?
Yes.
Am I ever?
And your love life.
And how?
Well, here's a lady with a key. Passion Parties president.
Pat
Davis. Has released, don't be so negative, you don't know what she has to say. She has released a new book, Passion Parties, Guide to Great Sex. She says the first step is for the female partner to find her inner passion diva.
Lose some weight.
That real sexy being that some people, it's tucked away a little further, and some she's more on the surface. But how to reach and communicate with your passion diva to bring her out to play, and therefore your partner will be the great recipient.
For hundreds of years, the people of Africa were bought and sold by colonial merchants.
Thank you.
And transported as cargo to this hemisphere. The journey endured by millions of Africans is one of the largest migrations of history and one of the great crimes of history.
Thank you, Tim.
Meanwhile, the Passion Guide to Great Sex, author Pat Davis says, getting in the mood can start first thing in the morning.
From that wink you give him as he goes out the door to maybe a little pat on the derriere or all the little things that you can
derriere.
Do. Nope, this lunchbox. Just things that can warm it up so that when you do finally get the children to bed that night, that you've been both thinking
about
the answer.
It all
day.
I think we found the answer. The last time
a pat on the derriere.
The last time we did this, honey, it cost me $300,000 over 18 years. So, no. Look, I understand that sometimes the spark just goes away. Sometimes, with couples and blah, blah, blah. But there is just nothing more horrifying and cringe-inducing than these awful, like, books and seminars and magazines and, like, parties they do where it's like, how do we inject the passion back into your life? And I always go to this one example because Cosmo is the worst and most frequent purveyor of all of these hideous fictions and myths about how to inject passion and spice. That's another word, spice, back into your love life. And they always do these horrible role-playing things. And I don't mean role-playing like, daddy's little girl needs a hairbrushing, or something, or whatever. You know, whatever the interesting, sexy kind of role-playing you might be thinking, it's not that. Cosmo always suggests these things are like, you know, go to a local bar, but pretend you're someone else. Have your husband come by and pretend he's a sailor on leave, and then the two of you go to a cheap motel together. That's just awkward and embarrassing. For everyone involved. It's like this. I used to do, and this was years ago, so there's a wholly different market. But I used to do, as a condition of the radio station employment that I had, a condition of the show that I worked on, I had to do these interviews with clients occasionally. This sort of, and everybody does these. This is, it's not the only one to do this. But we have like some client on, and it's like some thinly veiled. I mean, it is an infomercial, but it's masking as like an interview. Anyway, and I had to interview this woman who ran like one of these upscale like boutique things. And I'm not saying that they're. Look, we have all kinds of advertisers and clients who say all kinds of things. Has nothing to do with the type of store. There's just certain products that are awkward. And this thing that this lady was peddling was like one of these. It makes me cringe even to talk about it. It was one of those, like, inject some passion into your love life board games. Do you know what I mean? And it's like a sexy board game for couples. There is no sexy board game.
It's a Loveopoly.
And I had to sit there for like the 12 longest minutes of my life interviewing this hideous woman with just like troweled on makeup, wearing like an ill-fitting purple muumuu, as she talked to me about, Loveopoly or like, you know, Passion Place or whatever the hell this hideous Get Hot for Your 300-Pound Wife board game was called. None of these things are effective. None of them work. They end up embarrassing everybody. And all they do is accelerate the process toward final cleansing, purifying divorce. That's all they do. So let's all just remember that. All right. I remember back when they used to have to do these 20-minute interviews with a vitamin lady three times a week.
God.
And you just, it's bad enough once in your life you have to talk about vitamins for 20 minutes, but three times a week, every week. Just sitting there trying to come up with new questions for the... How many times can you... does the daily vitamin that many of us have in the jar at home, just does that really... Is that enough? And if not, where can I get... other vitamins throughout the day in maybe commonly used foods that I'm, already eating. And you're inside your head, just kill me. I wish I had a tumor the size of a melon in my head. I wish that a car would crash through the wall of the studio and kill me. Just in your head, just more than anything, you were wishing you were deceased. Let's see if the urban perspective music plays. I don't think it was completely downloaded before. All right. Is my computer up?
Yep.
All right. Oh, I guess it would help if I actually turned the volume on. How about you do that, Rick? Genius.
You need a chocolate friend. This chocolate loves you just the way you are.
Oh, I got something to say to you.
Some kind of ghetto act.
Some kind of ghetto act.
Scotty Drake.
And then this is where Scotty J drops the science.
That is awesome.
Now we got to find a question. It is Black History Month.
Let's get a question. Help us out, people.
So there you go. So if you have a question for Scotty J's The Urban Perspective, The Urban Perspective.
Don't say that. Don't ever say that. No.
Holla at Scotty at, I don't know, just rickatrickemerson.com. We have a question for Scotty J's The Urban Perspective. How great is, see why I have to do it now? How great is that theme? All right, here's, let's do a couple more here, and then we'll bring Scotty in and do the Suburban Perspective Part 2 today.
A University of Virginia psychiatrist says many women have mediocre sex lives because more of them are becoming achievers and overachievers. Anita Claxton, an expert on women's sexuality and mental health, has noticed that the pressure to juggle work and family has caused sexual relations to become less of a priority. Women, especially working women, are more stressed and tired than ever before. Women overburden their lives and altered their libido, and there seems to be a little motivation for women to change.
It's true. This is why trashy chicks are always hot and good in bed. Because, like, what else do they have to do? Seriously. I mean, that's it. That's when that's the focus of your life, you know, you do one thing, you do it well. You plan your work, and you work your plan. Rick, why don't you get some Indian music and have Scotty J give us the turban perspective? Genius. Fantastic.
Well, that would be un-American.
That would be very American.
Less than patriotic.
United Colors of Benetton. Let's just do this, shall we? Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show again. Our good friend Scotty J to the studio, please, for the Suburban Perspective. In the meantime, Charlie, you have an answer on cleft palate?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
My son was born about 12 years ago with one. At the time, mm-hmm. It was one of the most prevalent birth defects, 1 in 700. He had a cleft lip. He had surgery at about 5 months old, which repaired it. Hence, there's a little scar, which I think is what people call the hair lip.
That's what, because that's what Joaquin Phoenix has, I think.
Yes, and also to be saying that I don't know that he has the ability to completely take that scar away. It's not something you can just completely whitewash.
Really?
It would leave some scar.
Is that true? I thought, like, I don't know, I just thought we were at a point of medical technology where you could get rid of anything. Like, you could get rid of any scar at all.
It's still kind of there, and what you'll see is older people that have, like, really bad scars, it's because back in those days they didn't have the technology or the money to get rid of them. Now with health insurance and things, people are able to have them taken care of. And the palate, just so you know, if it goes into the palate, that's when you've got dental issues, speech impediments, feeding issues as a child.
Yeah,
you've
seriously.
You've got a whole host of problems.
So to speak.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I had to say. All right, Charlie, thank you so much, sir.
All right, Rick.
There you go. That's Charlie. A whole host of problems. Hi, Scotty. How are you?
Hi.
All right. We're going to be coming up with urban perspective questions for you for later on.
Aren't you excited, Scotty?
I am.
All right. All right. So let us now revisit. And I've got many, many emails about the Dixie Chicks today. Let us now revisit this. Now, Sarah was pointing out earlier, with, I have to say, some degree of accuracy, that you were all in a twist about whatever the Dixie Chicks had said, but you didn't really know what they'd said.
What they said in between a couple of songs was that they were ashamed that President Bush was from Texas. And then you had a bunch of callers call in and go, does Scotty realize he wasn't from Texas? I could care less. That's what they said, not
what
I said.
Well, that's a fair point. He markets himself as being from Texas, though, so that's a fair point.
Right, he was governor there, correct?
Yeah, he's not from there, but I mean, he sort of tries to pass himself as one, so that's a fair point, yeah. So,
okay.
All right.
So
okay, go ahead.
You know, I'm just going to... The whole reason why I was all miffed about this whole Dixie Chicks thing is because they spent way more time... The Grammys, I mean, to get 5 Grammys and to call that the best album of the year, that is just... that is a joke within itself. It's not what they were saying or what they were doing. The album is crap. There's much better stuff out there.
Well, there's always better stuff out there.
So
that's not the point.
Every
year there's stuff that is better.
The Grammys decided they wanted to make, an anti-American / statement of some sort.
Let me ask you. So do you believe that liking the Dixie Chicks then is anti-American?
No, it is. It's American to like the Dixie Chicks. You can like whatever you want. You can say whatever you want, but you got to go through the repercussions of that as well.
So, how? So, but it's anti-American for them to give them a Grammy.
I think the Grammys spent... I mean, if they won one Grammy, great. But five Grammys, come on, you're making a statement at that point. Your statement is, you know, gosh, what, you know, we're totally against this war now, and we don't like President Bush, and here's five Grammys, you know, for what a great job you did on what, one song? You said you have the CD.
That's the standout song.
It's horrible.
There's no doubt about that. No, that's the standout track on
that. And really, we're just past that. This is, you know, I totally lost it backstage at the end of it all. And I felt like it was sort of my first cry for the last 3 years. And I'm not quite sure why yet. It was just overwhelming.
All right, so we have, let's see this.
What happened to us really drove us to make an album that said a lot, and I think people kind of linked into that because it was a story and it was something beyond the music. It wasn't just songs.
There you go.
Said,
she said it right there.
Political, if you read it that way, but a political stance. And so I think people kind of identify with that, you know. I think, maybe that's part of the success, but we will take it any which way it comes.
So you believe it's wrong to like a song for its lyrical content?
No, I don't believe that, but she said it herself that this album goes beyond the music. It's a political statement, and the Grammys are like awarding them for this political statement. That's what's happening.
So you don't believe that music can make a political statement?
Absolutely. Make a political statement all you want, but I'm wondering what's happening to America when America rewards people for, you know, bashing their president on foreign soil or going around and you know, being non-supportive in such a fashion. There's other ways to do it.
Well, this program quite often bashes the president. So I guess the question has to be, why is it that you work here?
You're on American soil.
Well, this program is heard by people who aren't American. This program is heard in other countries. We have people in Kuwait who listen to this program.
Why is it that I work here?
I'm just asking. I'm saying we have people in other countries who listen to this program. This program is heard in other countries. So, therefore, do you feel about me the way you feel about the Dixie Chicks?
No, see, you're doing your bashing from American soil. Dixie Chicks did their bashing off American soil. Okay, here's what happened. They went over to Europe.
Listening to Rick talk in a different country, and they agree with him. Is that them bashing the United States or the president?
Well, I'll get back to that question. When the Dixie Chicks made their statement, they were in another country that had major anti-American war sentiment
really
going on. And so they thought that they would up their record sales by just jumping right in and making that statement over there themselves. And then we back here in America caught wind of it, and everybody jumped on the We Hate Dixie Chicks bandwagon. And now it's...
Everybody.
Well, a good portion of their fans.
You know, the record debuted at number one.
Well, that's because of all the... Think of all the hype around it, too, when that record came out. And people were saying, this is banned. More people are like, ooh, we better go buy that and see what this is all about. So, I mean, it was a win-win for them the entire way. And now they're getting their political statement out, their liberal statement that we can finally, hopefully, get another Democrat.
You know that they made that comment, like, 4 years ago?
It was in 2003.
Right, that's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, it was...
Thousands of years.
I mean, yes. Thousands of years.
Okay.
All right. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Hi. I just have a simple question for Scotty.
Yes.
If he has ever actually listened to the entire album, because Keb Moe plays on it, John Mayer plays on it, Bonnie Raitt plays on it. It's not, I mean, it was a collaboration, and apparently he should stop listening to those people, too.
No. The collaboration of the music that they played on that particular album, it just does not sound appealing to me. They've had better albums. I once liked...
Oh, they absolutely have had better albums.
There you go. That's the statement that I'm making.
Okay, but I think
that the album
you're really angry, and you're kind of going overboard about how, it's the Dixie Chicks, and they're cool, and they play their own instruments, and they write their own, or they get a little help, but they write their own music, and, you know, it's good, and they're, tough women, and they gave their perspective. And
it should be noted that he rolled his eyes at the phrase tough women.
I'm sure he did.
All right.
But anyway, I just wanted to say that.
All right, thank you.
All right.
You'd like to weigh in on the suburban perspective. It's 503-733-2970. Well, we're taking these on screen, which is why that's happening. Rick Emerson Show, you're on the suburban perspective.
How you doing, Rick?
Hi.
Scotty, you're such a dullard. Look, I'm gonna dumb it down here, and I'm going to go with Scotty logic, that if you criticize the president, that you're un-American. Well, all these Republicans who criticize Clinton, how more un-American could they be? Whether they did it on soil here or soil somewhere else, doesn't really matter. And further, Scotty, you know, your whole politics, they lack an understanding of reality.
For the first time in my life, I'm speechless.
Okay, there's that guy. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. You're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Yeah, this is Ron from Seward. I have a challenge for Scotty.
Yes.
I am Captain Information, and I will come in legally baked and have a head-to-head competition with Scotty and blow him out of the water.
Oh, I see. You are saying that you'll come in under the influence of perhaps a strong narcotic or hallucinogen.
No, just marijuana, legal marijuana.
Oh, I see. So you don't
take the bus in.
And will it have a complete liberal slant to it?
Absolutely.
See?
Do you have a card, sir? Do you have a medical marijuana card?
I have several.
I'm a caregiver
for other people.
So you... Several. I have dozens.
Yeah.
Under any number of names.
Yeah.
So you're saying that you could come in, you're saying that you are offering to come in while under the strong influence of marijuana and still have a mental face-off with Scotty that you believe you would win.
Yep.
All right. Drop me an email, sir.
Very good, sir.
All right. Thank you. Rick Emerson Show, you're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty Trey. Hello. All right.
I'm hearing an echo for some reason.
Well, line two is echoing. Okay. It's only line two for some reason. Rick Emerson Show, you're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty Trey.
Scotty J, oh God. All right. Rick, since the days of Jolie I have not yet achieved this type of frustration. I love this man. He does well for you on days, but he is so ill-informed, it's just painful. It just is.
Ill-informed in what way? This is your view. I'm giving you my view, so how can I be ill-informed?
Okay, Scotty, your view is that they are anti-American, or they say anti-American things, correct?
My view is that this whole conversation came up with them winning all these Grammys.
But you had a problem before they won the Grammys. You had a problem with them saying it, period.
Well, they're basically, they have liberal views. I'm Republican, if that isn't obvious. But their liberal views are, you know, we hate George Bush, and we shouldn't be in this war. And it's been that way since day number one. And that was before we even got Saddam. That's when they made that statement.
Agreed. So,
and then here's another thing about this. They went back and apologized, and then a couple weeks later took it back again. So in the beginning, they were apologizing, saying that the president deserved more respect than what they gave him. Sir?
Oh, okay. Granted, what does that have to do with being anti-American on foreign soil? If they don't like the president, they don't like the war. That's their stance. Can they not say that from wherever they're at?
It's an etiquette thing. You don't drag the flag on the ground, and you don't go into somebody else's country and bash your own country. That's just the way it is. Do you think Iraq people are coming over here to America and bashing their own country? I don't think so.
Well, that's not true yet. For example, Cuban exiles who live in Florida who are constantly maligning Cuba and Castro.
Okay, great point.
Shocker. Okay.
Well, I'm just asking, do you think that's wrong?
It's an American thing that evidently I'm wrong about. I was brought up to respect my country.
I'm asking you, for example, Cubans who come here to Florida, who then speak ill of Cuba and Castro. Do you believe that's wrong?
No. So, you know, my point is now double-sided, right? Obviously.
Yes, it's double-sided.
I get painted into the corner where, you know...
I'm just asking the question. All right, thank you, sir.
Hey, Rick.
Yes.
Rick.
Yeah.
Well, you can probably just hand him a bottle of Jim Beam and get the bourbon perspective coming.
we'll go from one to... We should do a day where we'll go from one to the other to the other. All right, thank you. Let's do a couple more here and then we'll break. Rick Emerson Show, you're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J. Hello, sir. All right. Rick Emerson Show, you're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
Hey, Scotty, you know, last year Green Day won rock album of the year for American Idiot, and you pretty much can't give a bigger blankety-blank to Bush on that album.
Right, and I wasn't here to report.
Would you have been complaining about that?
Oh, totally.
Yes.
That whole album is totally against the American.
Have you listened to the whole album?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what is your bigger... So your problem is that they're recording an album that's against the war.
The whole biggest problem I had today, and I thought you would be on the same bandwagon, but...
Why did you think I would be on the same bandwagon?
Because I could have sworn, I swear... I know I can't say the words verbatim, but you were like, I hate those chicks, or I can't stand those, you know, Dixie chicks. At the time, it was like you were like, ha ha, they're getting what they deserve, and I swore that was your attitude. And I must be wrong, but I think other people might have heard it on the radio too. That one day we were all poking fun at the Dixie chicks.
Oh, well, it's easy to poke fun at the Dixie chicks.
Okay, now. As far as the other band, I would have probably said the same thing. But they're not really today's point. The point I'm trying to make about Dixie Chicks is they won all these Grammys and Best Album of the Year, and the album itself is crap.
Well, you keep close to great symphony.
Oh, I wish we had a blood pressure cup on you every time that plays. All right, thank you. We'll do a couple more. Mike, okay, here's what I can't figure out, though. You keep changing reasons. Are you more upset that they made the statement, or are you more upset that they won the Grammy for an album that musically you don't like?
The Grammy situation.
Okay, but
it's okay to say what you want in America and off soil now. I'll just get off that whole topic, because apparently I'm brought up different. You don't drag the flag on the ground. You don't, you know, knock your
Why
country
Why
are
you saying drag the flag
else.
On the ground? They're not dragging the flag
I'm
on the ground.
I'm giving you a point that these
No,
are,
but that's it's not, it doesn't...
It does. Because
but it doesn't, Freddie, because you're sitting here saying a literal thing, that they're sitting there dragging the flag on the ground because they went and said that they weren't happy with the war and that they didn't like the president 4 years ago. You can't compare that to them dragging our flag through the mud.
Seriously.
That's dumb comparison.
Because one is denigrating, at least symbolically, the entire country, and one is talking about a specific person.
Too.
One is talking, and one is a specific person.
I see him as one and the same.
So George W. Bush is the entire country. So George Bush
is the leader. He's the elected leader of our country, whom we should support, and we should not be in other countries saying that, you know.
So do you believe we should support those things that we believe morally to be wrong?
Well, I guess not. But then again, you don't have to live here, right?
So, well, let me understand this. So if our country does anything we find immoral, we shouldn't live here.
Good point.
Well, do you believe that's the case?
No.
Okay, so again,
everything I say, I'm, you know, my words are perversely twisted.
In what words have I twisted?
Because I didn't.
You accuse me of that all the time. You constantly accuse me of twisting your words.
I didn't specifically say that if you have this view, you should just leave the country. But I did say that, you know, if you're not happy here, you should leave the country.
So, what do you mean happy here? So if someone is upset with something that's being done by the government, you believe they should leave?
Or do something about it.
Well, so when people protest the war, when people try to rally others to their cause, you don't think that counts? Yes?
Well, to quote the great Simpsons.
Exactly.
I'm letting you think.
I'm ready to take another caller.
Okay. Let's see. What do we have here? We have Rick. If Scotty J is so gung-ho for the war, why is he not joined up? He must know that the age of enlistment has been raised to 44.
We already had that conversation one
day.
But
that's because you thought the cutoff was 40.
I thought it was 35.
No, it's no longer that.
Uh-huh.
I could get a recruiter down here.
Hey, I'm for the war. I'm not for fighting myself, so what does that mean?
I don't know, Scotty.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
You tell me.
Well, you seem pretty strongly opinionated. Why don't we take some callers?
Okay. Scotty is for the war, but not for fighting himself.
That's right.
The question is, what does that mean? Hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, I think what Scotty's trying to refer to is the subject of respect. When the chicks went over, they pretty much showed a lot of disrespect to the president at that time, because they didn't have the guts to air it out here domestically. And you tend to see this in a lot of the celebrities, where they'll go abroad and air their views.
Yeah, people are real shy about disliking George W. Bush in this country. Nobody ever publicly dislikes George W. Bush here. You're really hard-pressed to find somebody here who doesn't like him.
They don't have the guts to say it here.
What country do you live in?
So don't fraud.
What color is the sky where you live? Are you telling? Let me ask you this. Are you telling me that in America you don't see people publicly disliking George W. Bush?
Not to the same extent that they'll go abroad and air it out with the hopes that maybe it won't get back to here. But, you know, with today's communications, it always does.
Yes.
Well, and then they always wonder why they get themselves in trouble.
Yes, what with the telecommunications and the technology and the science?
Well, it's pretty much like, okay, when you're in your family, if you've got any beef, you know, you say it to one another within the family, but it looks very, very bad when you go and tell somebody else the family problems without even telling it to the person themselves.
Because the rest of the world thinks things are going so swimmingly. Because here's the thing, the rest of the world has televisions too. They watch what's going on here. They know.
But it still goes back to what Scotty was going to say. It's just the issue of a disrespect.
Disrespect, yes. All right, thank you. All right.
I have a comment to make.
Yes.
Just as these people make their statements and their songs and get their Grammys for it, I have my statements and my opinions just the same.
Right.
And the reality is this. Saddam Hussein, in like his 20-some-odd years of power, killed a million-plus people. This war has, you know, George Bush, people compare George Bush to Saddam Hussein and say George Bush is the devil and blah, 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 and he's killing our people. Where's the song about us going over there and taking that guy out and trying to make a better life for all these people that died? A million plus people died under his
I thought we went over because of WMDs.
Well, that was a part of it. That was a big part of it. But we also went over there because of
the connection to 9/11.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Okay. Rick Emerson Show, you're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Yeah, it's hard not to love Scotty. He's a nice guy. But I think the problem is he admitted he doesn't like to read. And it's really hard to stay current on the events when you don't read. I served 10 years in the Air Force, and most of the people that I know and associate with are not very happy with what George has done to our country. You know, he's making us a weaker place now because we're spread so thin we can't even go defend, need to be defended. Like going after Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan and Pakistan. He's not in Iraq.
Scotty's tying his shoe. I'm sorry. He was really distracted by shoe tying. All right. Thank you, sir. The question is, if Scotty J is so virulently for the war, why is he not signed up? And then you said, Scotty, I don't know. What does that mean about me?
Because I'm not going to sit here and paint myself in a corner that I'm some kind of
a question.
Hey, let's go to war, but won't do it himself.
Well, but you don't have to paint yourself as that. You are that.
Okay, well, so be it.
So the question.
I could care less. As it turns out, I have children that are in their teens. I'm in my 40s, and you know what? This war is not a draft right now. It's if you want to go and fight, you go and fight.
So, would you feel comfortable with your kids being drafted to go to war?
If they were drafted to go to war, I wouldn't feel comfortable as anybody else.
Would you encourage them to go
fight for our country?
By the way, you guys, I don't want to see people die over there. I don't want to see people get drafted. I don't enjoy this war any more than anybody else, but
would you encourage your children to go to war if they were of age?
Would I encourage them to just go to war? Just
to go fight for our country?
Because it's protecting us and it's the right thing to do.
If it's something that they want to do, I would support them.
But would you, if they were undecided, would you tell them that you believed it was the right thing for Americans to be doing?
If they were undecided about
going over
there?
If they said, Dad, I'm a military age and the military is, has asked that I joined. They came to the school, which is what happens to all teenagers. They came to the school and they said, hey, you kids, you ought to sign up and go, defend freedom in Iraq. And they came to you and they said, Dad, I'm just unclear about this. Do you believe that I ought to be going over and fighting in Iraq because it's the right thing for able-bodied Americans to do? What would you say?
Well, I wouldn't say that in those exact words. I would just explain what could possibly happen, that they might die in the process.
But if they asked if you thought it was the right thing to do?
Is it the right thing to, if they say,
for example,
Dad, is it the right thing to fight for my
for
country?
For example.
Should I go do it?
For example.
Say yes.
For example, in World War II, clearly it was the right thing to do to step up and join the military and stop a force that was threatening to overtake the world.
Right.
That's an indisputably right thing to do. It was a no-brainer, as they say. Do you believe that to be the case now?
To step up and go join the war?
Do you believe it's a no-brainer?
I believe this war is a by choice situation.
Well,
unlike that war, it was there was a draft going on, right?
Yeah, but that's, I'm saying, in terms of a moral decision. Whether it's the right thing to do morally. Do you believe it's a no-brainer?
Yes. Because I'm supporting the war right now.
Okay. Let's do one more bank of calls here, and then we're way over time. We got a break. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. You're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Hey, Scotty.
Yes, sir.
Scotty, yes. A little role play. Let's say 2 years from now, you happen to leave the country for some reason, and they ask you about Miss Clinton and her new presidency. What would your response be?
I'm not going to, like, bash on her or say anything like that, and I didn't hate Clinton, by the way, when he was in power.
Mrs. Clinton.
Yeah, if in 2 years from now they say, what do you think of Mrs. Clinton as president?
I wouldn't have necessarily picked her, but, you know, she's done a good job with a couple things here and there.
Not that you would ever leave the country.
Not that you'd ever go anywhere else. Okay, that's mighty wide of you, Scotty. Thank you. Thank you. We'll do three more here. Rick Emerson Show, you're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J. All right. Rick Emerson Show, the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I have trouble with, as someone said, last year Green Day won the Grammys, and this year the Dixie Chicks. It seems that the winning is all based on your political agenda and statement, less of lyrical or musically in that way. It's not a musical anymore. It's a political statement.
So you believe the Green Day record to be it was a political statement?
I think someone made that point. I don't know that. I'm just dovetailing on what that person said in terms of that was a bashing George Bush, wasn't it?
What evidence has led you to this belief?
Which one? What belief?
That the Grammys are made, that these people get in a room and they discuss politics and then choose the record. What evidence has led you to this?
The last 2 years of highlighting and awarding the Dixie Chicks this year.
Yes.
And last year.
What's the Green Day record about?
Now, I have no idea. I'm basing it on what one of your callers said.
I see.
That what that album was, he pointed out.
What's the name of the Green Day record?
Just as your caller pointed out, that was a bashing Bush album. A caller of yours pointed that out.
You have no idea. You can't even tell me the name of it.
Don't even care.
Okay, now then I don't. Rick Emerson Show, you're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J. Hello, final call.
Hello?
Hi.
How you doing?
I am okay. What's up?
Hey, listen, with all due respect, as a suburbanite, a reluctant suburbanite, you've got to retitle the segment. Suburban Perspective. How about Red State Perspective, dude? Or how about Rural Perspective? Because you come out in the suburbs, I think Scotty J is at a very, very small minority of the thought process out here.
Well, you know, he is representative of a certain school of thought, and the Rick Emerson Show, we are a big tent, sir. We have all different types, all different cultures, styles, all different peoples are represented on this radio program.
My friend, but I'm moving to the city now.
All right, what was your name?
Steve.
All right, Steve. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. All right. Scotty, final words?
It is a blue state, and that's why the majority of calls are a little blue.
But, you know?
The other thing I want to say is you never hear anybody that shares my perspective.
Why is that, Scotty? Now, people accuse us, and people have accused me in the past of screening out people calls who disagree with me, and you know that's not true. You know that, in fact, if you disagree, as we always say, and Leica says this too, that if you disagree, you're actually likely to get on the air a lot faster. You know, because that makes for, you know, that's a lot more interesting. People going, I agree with everything you say. You know, people who disagree are more likely to go to the front of the line. They're just not there. So, I mean, yeah, my fault, brother. All right, Scotty J and the Suburban Perspective, ladies and gentlemen. So overtime here. Got a break. Back after this, more of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.